Kaddish, it's like regular Kaddish, right? You don't have to Kiddish. It's Friday night this year?
Yep.
Yeah, so it's a
paragraph. Right? It's a regular Kiddish. But don't let it be regular, I think. I don't know. It's a good time to focus on the words of Kiddish. Yantif Kiddush, especially Asher Bacha Vanu Mikol Am, Ram Vanu Mikol Hashem, Miki Dishanu V'Mitzvosav. Talk to your kids. Right before Kiddush, you're holding your Kiddush cup. No? Talk to your kids. What makes us so special? Why are we so much more special than everyone else? Tell me something that is special about the Jews. Start the Haggadah on a high point, no?
For sure.
Start the Haggadah on a high point. Turn to your kids, turn to your family. So you guys tell me, you said you're going to say in a second, you chose us from all the nations, you made us better than all the languages, and you were mekadesh us with your mitzvahs. Tell me an example. Ask them for examples of statements that we make everyone at the table, who's comfortable at least, they always have a couple of passes, but make everyone at the Seder share what they look around at Judaism, what makes us special. So Kaddish, a great opportunity to focus on the word. Just the first thing you start with Asher Bacha Vanu Mikol Am, right? Romanu Mikol Hashem, Ki Dishanu V'Mitzvosav. So, what makes us so special? What makes us Jewish people so special? How are we different than the rest of the world? Like, use it as a springboard for conversations. A good conversation to have right there. You're holding your Kiddush cup, spilling all over your sugar and have spilled.
Hey, Baruch Atah.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I don't think 3 o'clock is going to be the goal.
Exactly.
On an early night.
And you make Shachianu. Make Shachianu.
Shachianu is such a beautiful bracha if you think about it.
Crazy, right?
Said, Yaakov, can you define the words? Just a beautiful word.
Shachianu. There you go. Kept us alive. Kiyamanu. And you sustained us. Higianu. And you brought us. This exact moment. It's like that realization that, like, if I'm here right now, I'm meant to be here. What do I do?
The cap you're wearing.
That's the guy.
So, the ultimate.
So
the
why
ultimate
do we say it by new things? That we, like, why do we?
To think about the words and then think about your question.
What do you mean? You kept us alive. You sustained us, and then you brought us to this.
The higyanu lasman hazet to this exciting special time.
But you say it every day.
Right. Yeah.
Go ahead. I promise you, it's not a bracha levatala. I ain't no rabbi, but I'm. Go ahead. No, I mean.
No, yeah.
I don't know.
Of course, that should be our sentiment at all times.
No,
of course,
it's a major thing. It's like, anytime you have a new fruit every year, and you say shachianu, something you haven't done for a whole year. Why is that? Why are you waiting a whole year to do that?
Excellent. Maybe because human nature is that we get used to routine, so it's hard to do it every day. If we did it every day, then we would lose what's fancy about the bracha. Save it for special
times. Gullus of freedom.
No, but you say it several times a year, right?
Yeah.
You say it by Hanukkah, you say it first of Hanukkah, you say it by
Rosh Hashanah.
You say it several times a year.
By big stuff, right? So we save this one for big stuff because you're right. You should have a sentiment every day. You should have that feeling every day. But to, like, mention it and proclaim it, we do it special things. You know, you get a new suit, you get a new...
Yeah, you kind of do say it every day.
A new house.
Why?
Right.
We say different
versions,
words, different versions of this bracha. There's something beautiful about standing yomtiv. Everyone dressed in their best clothes. You see your children. You see the table set. And like shachiyanu v'kiyamanu v'kiyanu zanazet. It's like, we're good.
There's gotta be something special about it. Yeah, for sure. And then you lean when you drink the wine, and that's cheres. Like we all know, that's freedom, is leaning like they used to lean when they were, you know, the rich guys used to lean. So we start, and like, who said this?
Isaac
said, right? It's like all mixed up. You do like some of this, some of that. So we have to focus on it. But you definitely start the Seder with freedom. Which is interesting, right? Like start from a weird place. Maybe it's to set out the goal of the night.
foreshadowing.
Well, look at well, if you look at Klal Yisrael, before they were slaves in Mitzrayim, they were free people. I mean, Canaan.
Okay.
And then they, you know, the whole Mice with Yosef, they get, you know, they get sold, they get moved down there, and then eventually, you know, Vayakam Elchad Shal Mitzrayim, Shalei Das Yosef, and then boom, all of a sudden you go into slavery.
Right.
But then eventually, by the end of the night, we're back to freedom again. And Kadosh Baruch Hu took us out of Mitzrayim.
Okay. Well, maybe it's reenacting that. I hear that. I like it. Okay. So that's Kadesh. I mean, just, you know, it's good. Urchatz. We break the head of the household, washes his hands as if to eat bread, or without reciting a blessing. Sorry. Urchatz, right? We wash our hands. And why do we wash our hands? The halachic answer.
So to eat before you eat dry vegetables. So
whatever. Any wet vegetables, right? When you dip something in wet, it's susceptible to tumah.
So
because it's wet, it's susceptible to tumah. So you have to wash your hands. But
I feel like this is like the first thing of the Seder.
Yeah.
Right. Kaddish is Kedushas HaYayim, like, okay, we're sanctifying it, this is a holy thing.
Yeah, it's like technical detail almost.
Right, exactly. Now, like, we're beginning, like,
right.
Start with this Orchat thing.
Right, and we start with washing our hands. So, obviously, the technical detail we know, like, maybe there's something more to Orchats, maybe the idea of getting ready for the Seder. I mean, getting ready for the Seder is, like, you know, washing away... starting to wash away.
So nothing to do with karpas, just cleansing yourself and preparing.
Well,
for
that might be why you also like, you know, you wear a kittel, like to be like holy,
right?
It might be like to wash away all like anything that's on you or that's like
mm-hmm.
attached to you. That,
then why not do that first?
Mm-hmm.
Why not then do urchatz before kaddish?
So that's what Mordechai was saying, that this is like the beginning of the Seder. Kaddish is, but Kaddish is also included in the Orcha, right?
Well, yeah.
It's of course part of the Seder, but it's more technical. Listen, it's Yantif, to be Mekaddish Yantif.
Meaning so is Myrav, right?
Right. Kaddish Yisrael Vazmanim, right? That we have Kiddush before we start Suda, so we make Kiddush here at this point. It's more like Urchatz is really, you're right, it's the first difference thing, it's the first special Seder thing that we're doing, right? So I think that's a beautiful idea. It's like, you know, you get ready, you're dressed in a kittel. The kittel is obviously the kittel always has two things, right? Like the malachim, right? Like
and mavas, and when you're
right?
Death.
Right, purity and death, which are obviously overlapping concepts, but maybe the purity aspect is we're dressed in where we want to get to. We want to be able to peel away the layers and get rid of all the stuff that's holding us back. We want to get rid of all that stuff. So the first thing you do is let's start by getting in the right zone. The right zone is we wash our hands, we're clean. It's a mini mikvah, right? Like, no, I mean, that's, you know, part
it's
of
nice
part of the thing.
What's karpas? Karpas is the, I'm not jumping ahead, I'm suggesting an idea.
Yeah.
The karpas represents, remind me again, that represents the hardships, right? The salt
yeah.
water, the bitterness.
Well, karpas is an interesting one. So on one side, it's the bitter water. And the word karpas is backwards, is...
Sarach.
Parach,
right.
Which is what?
I don't know. I don't remember. 60... I don't know. These all things we heard all our life.
Right, exactly.
I don't remember.
Exactly.
No, but I wanted to suggest that maybe the message of Urchatz is there's a level of Kedusha to also the pain and suffering.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning,
yeah,
it's from God, right? And there's a reason for all the pain and the bitterness that people go through in their life. So maybe the message from the Derech Remez is we're about to do something that's remembering something sad,
right.
Even that, like, go to the mikvah, wash your hands, like,
connected to
also
Kedusha. Kedusha. Connected to Kedusha.
Right. Maybe, I don't know.
Connected to something holy, I hear that.
Just a voice idea.
That's not bad. I got it. What is something? what is it? If you want to hook out it, I'll look along. Right at the beginning.
Did you wash hands of Clements first? What's?
Yeah, clear it off the table. It's like, I'm gonna put it upstairs or something.
The family heirloom, like the Haggadahs. Or...
Yeah, son of course. I'm sure he says it.
We should all know.
I know, right?
No, I don't think I should.
What?
Why, TC?
What do you mean? If I knew this,
Yeah, it's.
Thank you.
The 600,000 that were enslaved.
They were enslaved?
Yeah.
It's Samach. 600,000, the word karpas backwards is Samach Parach. That 600,000 were enslaved and worked hard. So in karpas itself is a remembrance of the slavery. But what's the food that we eat? I don't know, my family does celery,
potato.
Potatoes for like Russian families.
Oh, Russian.
Do you have a minnock? What do you guys
do? Cucumbers.
Potatoes.
I grew up doing parsley and then I found out that potatoes were acceptable.
Yeah, so you like potatoes are a little better.
I personally like potatoes. Yeah. Like,
funny, my minnock is rib steak.
Okay, so I bought.
A Polish?
I think so, something like that. That's what they say. They say the potatoes started because you couldn't get.
Celery.
It's supposed to be like a leafy, like parsley or celery. Green.
I've even seen cucumbers.
Why don't you go back to it? Really?
Yeah.
Really?
I was at, where was
what
I? Cucumber.
He was at a conservative state there. They people's idea even more. They're like, you know what? Cucumbers are even better than potatoes.
I saw watermelon.
Exactly. But I think the idea of celery and parsley and these type of things is like springtime. A springtime vegetable.
Uh-huh.
A springtime vegetable, which is the rebirth vegetable. It's the vegetable of after the winter, there's a spring, right? And so it's definitely a karpas has so much mixed up in it. We dip it in the salt water, so it's part of being a slave and remembering.
So it's to remind us, but to remind us of the bad times, but still look forward to the good times.
Remember that there's still good in the future, right? Exactly. So I think that for sure needs to be pointed out by karpas, the fact that there's.
That's why they use potatoes. So Tastes good.
It tastes good. It's right here. I think they were just looking for something that was readily available. But that for sure, I think within karpas is the idea that even in the most bitter times, I mean, even dipped in the most bitter times, there's still a future for the Jewish people. It's always been like that. It will always be like that, and it is now.
What do you mean a future for the Jews?
There's all...
light at the end of the tunnel.
Well, why do you mean... Because it's a springtime vegetable. It's the
next season.
Like you say, he's Matzmiach Yeshua, right? Like he lets salvation spring out. Matzmiach, like he lets it like squirt out of the ground, right? So that is the idea of karpas, is that exact idea, is that there will always be a spring after the winter. So it goes on, I mean, first of all, it makes like he was talking in the Chodesh Avos about like when you have a bitachon, like things, you're not stressed out. Because you're like, okay, I just have to wait. I just heard my, that's so awesome. By the way, Dilly's not here, he asked me if I want to, renovated this week, so I have a new office. So he asked if I want like artwork, and I shot today what my artwork should be. Anyways, he said, Miles Bitterman said, he said a guy came to the Rebbe and he said, I'm a wagon driver and I eke out a living driving. I have a horse and a wagon. And he said, my horse died. And he's sitting there crying. The Rebbe said to him, like, for you, you're right, you should cry that your horse died, because you look at the horse and you see the horse as your source of Parnassa, right? He's like, you realize that it's Hashem who's supposed to be Parnassa, then there's nothing to cry about. Like, sort of mirroring what the Chodesh Avos says, like, you're just calm, you know everything's going to be good in the future. Hashem's going to take care of you. So I want to get like a big painting of like horses. It's like, don't get confused by the horses. Like, don't look at the horses like they're the ones that give you the Parnassa. So that's, so okay, so like karpas, you make a hadama. You make a Hadama, and we don't lean by carpets, right?
Well, makes sense to me, a little bit.
Right.
Because you're remembering bitter times.
You're
not feeling like a king, you're feeling like a bitter, like, you know, slave, harsh time.
For sure. And that's going to be the indication whether or not what we're doing is sending us back to the past to experience something, or an eye towards the future, an eye towards the freedom that we can achieve and attain. So Karpas, you don't mean, I believe. He does say that he specifically means. So,
I think it's a different
thing. I'm sure.
Hagen.
What, different than Hagen?
I think so.
Because Karpas is very mixed up.
Is that where they hit each other with it?
Is that? Did they do that?
They hit. There's some people who hit each other with the. With it. Is
this?
It Karpas?
No.
You never heard of that?
That's Sudas.
I heard maybe that somebody had a Minhag to hit each other, like they were getting whipped.
Like they were getting whipped in Mitzrayim?
Yeah.
So again.
So Karpas, maybe, I mean, that makes sense that they wouldn't lean. They were going as far
exactly,
as whipping.
Exactly. They're traditional.
It's a Machlokes Rishonim.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, so there's obviously more in-depth conversation to be had, but most likely it's what's the focus of Karpas.
Is it the past?
Not to them, right?
So it's more for the past, the bitterness.
They want you for it.
Right. So Karpas is definitely the focus is sending us the first, it's the first experience of the Seder, right? It's first experiential traveling backwards in time of the Seder we start with. Gotta get back into being a slave, the bitter water. Right?
Aren't you also supposed to have in mind the Mar?
Yes.
Yeah, just
right.
That's for a bracha.
No, but Me'achuz, but at the same time, having in mind.
If that's what's in your mind. It's definitely focused
which
on.
Is the bitterness.
It's so cool. We're focused on the slavery, but doing it with a vegetable that signifies, and that the significance of that vegetable is that it springs forth like the Geula, you know, that it sprouts like the Geula.
Which is the message, right?
So that's exactly the message.
The horse is
the darkest.
And it's the start of the Seder.
And
it's the start.
Of the Seder.
I mean,
it's the first experience.
I guess it makes sense because you're starting at the bottom.
Exactly, and that's the Chazal say. The Gemara says that the whole method and pattern of the Seder is Maskil Begunos and Masayim Shalach or Shvach. We start with the low, and when we end with the great, in the praise. So that's definitely a pattern that we see repeated in the Haggadah in a few places. But in Karpas, in this mixed up expression, we're not leaning while we eat it, because the focus of it is let's go back to the past, let's go back into slavery, and it's a great place to talk about the bitterness of the slavery, either here or by. Or by Avad Mayinu, right? But to focus on, you know, we know the stories about what they went through, the Midrashim, about what they went through in Mitzrayim and the pain. And we have these little pictures in our head, either from a movie or from a illustrated Haggadah or whatever. You know, like, we have these pictures, but your kids probably will have a kid's Haggadah or their school Haggadah, and they'll have a picture of the Egyptians
whipping the Jews, right?
Focus on the feelings and the emotions, because that's this whole thing is to get you emotionally involved in the slavery. So focus on that, because that's something that I think that is very real for people. Is we say, you left him hanging. It's just not right. I thought you were going to put the dog on his head.
Please don't.
So we're definitely trying to play on our emotions and use our emotions and experiences to get somewhere and to put us in a certain mode. So talk at your Seder about how the guy who was getting whipped felt. We talk about they got whipped and they got beat and they had to work so hard, but the kids never really experienced that, right? I mean, like making your bed is not like such bad work, right?
It's not. You know, it's funny, it's because maybe to a kid it is. I mean, I don't know. Like, I feel like you think I'm Pharaoh.
They clean their playroom every
like,
day.
Like,
that seems that way.
I mean, you would think that like you were a Pharaoh when you tell your kid to do something. I don't know if they really feel that.
Right. But how painful it must have been. how scared they must have been living in this, in under this regime, right? That was out to work them to death. You know, talk to them about that here at Karpas or Avada Mayinu is makes it very real. And if you can bring out those emotions and those feelings in a real way from everyone at the Seder, then you're all traveling together into Karpas, into the bitter water and the tears, right? And the tears of the bitter water, right? I think that's what it is.
Yeah.
I think it's also such an important step, like, to understand, like, to get to the point where the Makos happen and the Sifters, right? You have to understand, like, where Ibn Ishaq was at that point and the lead up. Otherwise, you just get to, like, oh, this happened. Like, the miracles all happen. You're just like, yeah, like, okay, they just came, so to speak. Not
exactly,
like, your exactly. Issues.
What did we go through? We have to focus on what did we go through first in order before we get to what happened, right? Right? You got to focus on that. So talk it out. Talk it out. Maybe it's the first time ever that you've explored this idea. I mean, it would be a first for me to really think it through before, you know, go Google, like, what the Jews in Egypt and look at the Midrashim on what they went through in Mitzrayim and what the ladies, like, they were still slaves, and, like, the ladies would sneak at night to go visit their husbands who were at the working camps or whatever, right? Like, think about, like, the Mesiras Nefesh that they had to keep the Jewish people going, and, like, you know, the stuff, like, I believe, it's not out of place to use stories that we're familiar with from the Holocaust to describe, you know, what they went through in Sarajevo also. You know, maybe it's more real. Maybe we can relate to it a little bit easier. Yeah.
After the war, my grandfather, who didn't go through any concentration camps, but he went through the war, he was one of the first, that was years later, but it was like when my father was older with his siblings, and he went to a rabbi and said, listen, I went through the war, I'm not learning at all. What do I do Pesach? And he said at this point, Rabbi said to him, talk about your experiences in the war. That is the ultimate, you know. Maybe it wasn't paro, but it was a different paro.
Different paro.
It's amazing, right, exactly. Talk about all the paro.
Make it relatable, make it.
Paro is the example, not the ultimate, right? Paro is the example of the story in the Seder. Paro is the one that we're focused on, but it's everyone's paro, right? Like we said before, like, talk about what your paro, who your paro is. Like, what's a paro on you? What's your paro? Talk about that with your kids, you know?
And it's not necessarily a person.
Right, it could be an emotion, a thing.
Exactly,
right.
Exactly.
Do you think you could relate, like, the whole slavery to, like, even, like, to today's, like, technology, how we're so attached to, like, all this stuff?
Yeah.
Like, we are...
We're slaves to it.
Computers and our TVs and our shows and this, and, you know, the Yom Tov in our time that we get freed from all this type of freedom.
Yeah, 100%. Of course you want to bring it to that point. Of course. You know, if for nothing else it's valuable that your kids should see that you don't view it as a perfect world. Like, they're growing up in such a weird time. Everyone here, right? We grew up without all this technology. Or, like, right at the beginning, but definitely not without iPhones.
Right? I mean, without AOL guy.
Yeah, right, exactly. We grew up with dial-up internet, right? Like, dial-up internet was still a thing in our lives.
Sort of.
Like, we lived in a world without Wi-Fi, right? Like, our kids don't live in that world. Our kids live in a world of Wi-Fi, right? So they're definitely experiencing it in a different way than even we did. And so, you know, that they should understand, I hope that's our feeling, is that, like, it's not, we have not figured out how to do this life thing and technology. We haven't figured it out. And it's not getting better. Like, the world's not, they're not like, you know, let's come out with iPhone 6 now. It's like, this is too much. So let's go back to, like, the slow iPhone, right? They're not going backwards. It's not getting better. But the kids should hear on Pesach, like, that's a valuable lesson. That, like, this is not the perfect world.
So how do you, you're only relating that to, like, Pharaoh because it's ruling over us.
Hmm.
You're saying whatever is ruling over your thing. You should say like, yeah, this is, I mean, it used to, I guess, not rule over people as that. I mean, something else did, but.
Of course, there's always something, right? Yeah. You say that later, right? Called Darvadar, Omdim Alein, Lukhalasein. Omdim is like this, like, general, there's always something fighting against you and your connection to Hashem. Always, it's always going to be something like that. But I think it's, you know, I think it's appropriate, I agree that it's appropriate at the Seder to bring in an idea of technology and power and someone ruling over you, and when you can't make your own decisions, you're not in charge, you know, at a certain point you're kind of stuck under the rule of someone else or something else. Okay, Karpas. Yachatz. Yachatz, we take the middle matzah, the middle matzah, we break it in two, we put the smaller part back, and we wrap up the larger part for the afikoman. Right? And, oh, it's cool, they say here, some briefly place the afikoman portion on their shoulders, like the Torah says that the Bnei Yisrael left Egypt carrying their matzahs on their shoulders, and they say b'bihilu yatzanu min Mitzrayim. It's like more of a Sephardi thing.
Yes.
Yeah. They put it on their back here.
My mother's family.
Yeah.
They walk on the table.
Walk on the table. Yeah. That's incredible. I don't like, that's an incredible minna. Yeah. Such a boss move. If you do it, if you pull it off at your Seder, I see my father do it. It's such a boss move. It's like. But it's not like, okay, now we will get up and walk around the table. It's like, guys,
gotta go,
gotta get out, grab your matzah. We're ready to go. Right? You're doing this with your kids. It's like, guys, this is what we're going, this is what we're, where we're gonna get to tonight. We're gonna get to the tachlis here. We're gonna get out. So, and we have the amunah that we're gonna get out. So we go and we act it out. Why do we break the middle matzah? What does everyone always say?
They say do like a garlic or something also, like it just look like a dalit.
Oh yeah?
I don't know.
Yes, it's awesome and hug it.
Does it break it so it looks like a dalit?
Cool.
Dalit. Because why? That's a very good question, I don't know.
That's so cool. Maybe the four, like the four cups, the four lashonos of gula? There's a lot of fours, right? Four is a big number in the Haggadah. But that's cool. You have a dalit over here. I don't know, my father always makes a corny joke about that his father said. I don't understand. It says you break the middle matzah in half and you put the bigger part away. How do you have a bigger part of a half?
Every year?
Wow.
Get out the charts. Get out the charts.
Never heard that joke before.
Which one?
But you know, he's always holding it up. Anyways, so we put what's the middle matzah. They say, what did they say? They say a vart about the three matzahs on the Seder plate. Why do we have three? We normally only have lechem mishnah. Why do you have three on the Seder plate?
Kohen
Levi Yisrael, right? That's our three, right? Right, yeah. Kohen Levi Yisrael. So if you're breaking the middle matzah, you're breaking Levi. Which is interesting, because Levi wasn't part of the Gullus. Like, they were in Mitzrayim.
Yeah, and the Kohen is part of Levi anyways, also.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. So we're breaking Levi? I don't know. Let's see if the Haggadah with answers has an answer.
I wonder if it's a way to have them feel the pain, like they didn't feel as much of the pain as
they should be.
When I feel like it has to do with Mashiach and Afikoman or something like that, but I don't know how that connects to Levi.
Mashiach is coming. No, Mashiach comes from Yemen. Whatever, or Yehuda, whatever, we'll change it this year.
Yehuda, I feel like it has to be something like that.
Break the middle matzah. No one has any explanation for the year for the beginning of things, right? Oh, yachatz. At the Seder of Menachem of Lubavitch, Tzemach Tzedek, one of the guests is carefully measuring the two pieces to see which was the larger one. Noticing this, the rabbi remarked, when greatness has to be measured in millimeters, it's not greatness at all. In such instances, the lesser may actually be the greater. Sometimes, the world is impoverished in leadership. Presidents, prime ministers, and kings do not demonstrate any outstanding qualities. Wow. President like that. Their superiority, if it exists, is measured in millimeters. In such instances, the common man is apt to be greater because he meets the criteria for a common man, whereas the leader is not meeting the criteria of leadership. Okay. But that's Yachatz. Okay, so we have to
explore that one.
We have to explore that. Why do we break the middle matzah? I think there's got to be a reason out there.
And why it's called Kohen Levi Yisrael.
And what's the significance of Kohen Levi Yisrael? Right? Is also.
So, or I mean, you can
start from market, right?
Like, I have a cheesy thought.
Yeah.
Not in regards to why three, but why you break Levi. That even the Levim, who are not part of the Chirei Ego, even they could be broken. But at the end of the day, when you're surrounded by your brothers and your family, they could help connect you together. Because when you make Hamotzi, the first bracha is all three of them together. So even if you're broken, no matter what you're going through, no matter who you are, how high you are, how low you are, at the end of the day, you're still surrounded by your family.
So why is that cheesy?
I don't know.
Where's the cheesy part?
I don't know. It's just a random thought.
That's beautiful idea. That's beautiful. Yeah, and we put it back in between the other ones. It's like even when you're... There's significance in everything, so that's not cheesy at all. There's significance in every action that we're doing. Taking that broken piece and putting it in between two whole pieces, like maybe be with the when you're with your brothers, when you're with your family, that can make you whole again, right?
Isn't it interesting that you make a bracha on a broken piece of matzah for
Afi Goldman?
So interesting. Like, right. Nobody, Achali, you don't. It's very clear that the Chumashim has to be full. They can't be broken. In any way.
Right.
So
do you make a bracha? Right.
Make some mikta.
Yeah.
You make a zecher
for Afikom?
I don't think you make a bracha.
No, you're not.
Definitely doing the mitzvah. A lot of people say that's like the main mitzvah. No, you just do it. You just do it.
That's right.
No, you just do tzafon. Okay, you just do tzafon.
All right.
So you don't even make a bracha.
No, I thought there's yirutz or something. No,
you don't got
up. No, but it's a broken piece.
Maybe that's why you break it.
It's like to remember the...
I Shane or something? Like,
yeah?
I don't know. I'm thinking like what it could be.
You have one, two, three. One comes back. Two is the one that's broken forever.
And that's why you have three, because you're breaking a piece. It's not going to be used for the commission.
Mm-hmm. Right. You still have two. You still have two for the commission. All right. 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 All right. Right. Okay. So that's Yachatz. We have to think about if anyone comes up with anything or finds anything.
My coin is wrong.
Why you break? You're working on it? That's why I brought these, because I figured they could give us some
the teacher's edition,
some insights. But I didn't buy like great ones. I just bought this. I mean, whatever. I'm sure they're great, but I just didn't.
There's no cliff notes on Haggadah.
Take the middle matzah. We'll focus on the smaller one during Haggadah, while the larger piece is hidden away to be used later as the final dessert. For the children, this represents one of the highlights of the Seder. I would imagine that the routine in most houses is pretty much the same. The head of the Seder announces to the children's place an afikoman, and he warns them not to steal it. Either way, whichever way you do it, right?
My father always took advantage. Whenever we would ask for something?
Yeah.
For afikoman?
Yeah.
He's like, no. I'm like, okay, we're not giving it back. He's like, okay. And he just took another piece of matzah.
Different matzah, right?
And he's like, no problem.
I split it into three, and I give each of them one.
Yeah.
And whoever brings it to me first gets a candy. That's
crazy. Here's a good one. The matzahs used at the Seder correspond to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. That's another three that we have. So that means that we're breaking Yitzchak. Why are we breaking Yitzchak? Yeah? So the Gemara says in Shabbos that Yitzchak had the ability to defend Klal Yisrael and prevent them from being punished for their sins. Whoa. Remember that conversation Hashem had with the Avos? He went to Avram and he said Klal Yisrael is the lowest of the low.
And I don't
have anything to answer. So he went to Yitzchak. And Yitzchak made a cheshbin with Hashem. He made a whole calculation with him, right? Like they're only awake and they're sleeping.
Who said that?
Someone spoke about this on a Thursday night.
Oh, right. Yeah. So Yitzchak made a whole like argument with Hashem that that in the end of the day, the Jews don't have so many sins because they're half of the time they spend sleeping. Okay, so
oh, yeah.
They can't sin when they're sleeping. They could only, okay, worst comes to worst, half the time is already taken care of. Then you have
eating,
what?
Eating and bathroom.
Eating and bathroom time and whatever is like with their stuff. It's like the remaining time is a very limited amount of time. So he said, Yitzchak says to Hashem, half will be yours, pagalai or pagalas. I'll split it with you. You take half, I take half. In the end, simply understood, Yitzchak is saying that he assumes responsibility for the sins which are perpetrated because of the influence of his son Esav and the power that Esav holds in the world. The other half are the Se'or Shebi Esav, like the Yetzer Hara. You know, like God, half of it's my fault. Yeah, half of it is the Shibud Malchus, right? Shibud Malchus.
When did he cut this deal with him? Exactly?
The Gemara talks about it in Shabbos. Probably at the end of time, by like Mashiach, no?
Oh, I see, okay.
So, you know, simply, the simple understanding, what he's saying here is that Yitzchak's saying, okay, half is on me because I did the Asa, I produced Esav, so right. Half's on me because the fact that there's a kingdom on top of the Jewish people causes them to do the wrong thing, that's my half. And the other half is your fault because you, Hashem, made the Yitzhar, you put the Yitzhar in the world.
Yishmael wasn't like any part of
it. But Yishmael ended up doing tshuva in the end.
Yeah, Yishmael was like, Esav represented.
Therefore,
right?
When you're having half
like
of the matzah, and you're breaking
I mean,
Yitzchak,
like,
so the half that were, it's
power.
Broken in half.
Like
so the half that we're keeping is Yitzchak's, quote unquote, a Christ that he's
maybe that's
taking
why
like his portion of.
So you're saying
I didn't realize, I've heard of that
broke,
but
he broke down the timing.
If you think about it, he's saying it's my fault, and half is your fault. So then, in theory, the actual shibud of Golos should be half.
What?
In theory, based on that idea.
Yeah.
I didn't realize where you were. I missed the beginning that you were talking about, because I've heard this before. It sounded familiar to me. But based on that premise, that he's saying, I'll take half, you take half kind of deal, on some level, you should be able to make the, say, you should get calculation, hey, you know what? Let's cut the Golos in half because it's half your fault.
Well, wasn't there a shot that they took
your own actions? You're 100% responsible.
No, but Bnei Yisrael was thinking that in time early, according to some shatim, right? From Golos.
Right, they couldn't make it.
Right.
Couldn't handle it. No?
So we break it out one. I still don't fully comprehend it. So we're bringing it because he said half and half, but so what are we saying?
He says, we, so to speak, blame the Almighty for half our sins because the Yitzhar is God's creation, and he must take responsibility for it. During Golos,
oh, interesting.
In the darkness, we break the matzah. Shalom
aleichem.
Get it. Hello, Golos. How you doing?
I came to listen to the show.
What shot you break the middle matzah?
No,
I want to hear from you.
What does that mean?
Isn't
that
what
it means?
What?
There's a lot of
shots. Yeah, so I want to hear all the
shots in the air. That when you break the middle matzah, you remind yourself that they broke you. No?
So why the middle matzah?
Not top.
No, let's check the middle matzah.
So why the middle or why do you break it off?
Wait, the first thing we have to deal with is why we break at all. Why break the matzah?
Oh, so you said that we went out of the time they used to break us there, we had a boy, the crucial,
yeah.
And now we're free.
Okay.
So
that's step number one.
So
right.
This is Zeichel Yetzias Mitzrayim. The whole side there is based on Zeichel Yetzias Mitzrayim.
Right.
Okay.
So that's what we need to
understand. Mm-hmm. And now why
the middle? It's a personal redemption. It's a personal.
That's your personal thing, right?
So why do you have it? Because it's in the middle of your heart. It's in the middle of your body.
So wait,
and
you're saying. So you're saying the three matzahs, that's beautiful. The three matzahs are the body.
Yeah.
The head?
We
should say it's two.
How did you get there so fast?
Right, the third is a clear that you have three.
So that's it. So we have three, so there has to be some difference in the three.
Why did you come to this?
But you can still have two, then you break the bottom.
What do you break?
The
top.
The reason why they have three. Good question.
As parents, you don't need to have what's the
problem? That's
why you add.
Wait, that's what's the middle matzah. What did he say? Bushinama. I heard something else. What did he say?
That's why you have three. That's why. Why do you have three matzahs at the Seder?
What?
What do you remember from your Seder? Not to put you on the spot. What do you think?
I do because Nochem Shalom of Tal Masavage and me.
Because what?
Who was that?
No one.
You have three because you're going to break one.
That's technical.
You have three because you're going to break one? But
You're right.
Maybe we only break one because we have three.
Some people do two naturally.
Yeah. Right.
The most prevalent minhag is three.
We have to deal with why there's three. Why people have that minhag.
So the threes that we came up with was Kohen Levi Yisrael, and then you have to answer something to think about. You have to answer why we're breaking Levi. Right? And then the other three is Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov, and he said here, Yitzchak is the one that said Pal Galai and Pal Galach. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right?
Yeah.
And he splits it with Hashem.
And Yitzchak is the middle one.
And Yitzchak is the middle one. Yitzchak is splitting.
The three matzahs go again, the three of us.
Every time you have significance, you have three, you have to figure out what the three is.
When you say five,
every time you have three.
When you say six, it means it's just the mission.
That's the end of the Seder. We're not there yet.
So you're
going to tell me that God, you was eight.
Yitzchak is... Interesting.
After the shiur, we're giving the shiur about young Israel, whatever. we're going to work stuff out. We're making a mikveh here.
There's room right there.
Young Israel's going to come back and make a good about a mikveh.
You don't actually need
the. Ooh, this is a nice one.
Okay.
Sam Sofer. Sam Sofer says, he explains that when we break the matzah, we're splitting the night of Geula. Okay? Hashem split the night of redemption into two parts. And tonight, we relive the redemption from Egypt, which is the smaller Geula. But there's an ultimate Geula. Geula's Mitzrayim, Yitzias Mitzrayim, getting out of Egypt, is the first step. But it's not the ultimate Geula. There's a bigger step. So what do? Right? The larger piece of matzah, what do with that? We hide it away for Afikoma. The larger piece of matzah is the ultimate Geula, Samso. Is the larger piece of matzah is what we're hiding away for the future.
Right.
It's like Hashem did the beginning parts of Geula as Mitzrayim. Right? That's the first step that we could take. But then there's an ultimate Geula that we put away for later. Yeah?
And you have to find it.
No, I mean, you tell the kids. What's this up? Is not silly. This is not stupid. Think about this idea. If you could get this over to your kids, right? Think about this, right? When you're searching for the Afikoman, you're not searching for a piece of matzah. That matzah is just a hint at something else. What we're saying now, some sort of beautiful. What you're saying is that the big piece of matzah we put away is the big geula that we're searching for. No. Tell your kids, go in your life.
Go find the Geula.
Lead your life like you're searching for the Geula.
I should hide it, not my kids.
Is that how you do it?
No, I'm saying that you should hide it.
My father hides it, and then we go search for it after Magid or whatever.
Is that what you do?
Yeah.
Some people flip it around. They give it to the kids, and then the father has to search
for
it.
They hold a ransom.
Kid takes it.
Either way, someone's searching for the big gula.
Same.
Someone at the Seder is involved in the activity of searching for the big gula. That's why Yafet's right here.
It doesn't answer the middle.
I don't like it because at the end you find that and then you eat it.
Yeah,
so it doesn't fit.
Experience it.
What
do you
mean?
We said last night.
You're making it part of you.
And there's always a question that bothered me on a certain level, right? Because look, you're doing Pesach, right? But my mind is, how long were they involved in this whole situation? However you figure it out, for whatever it was supposed to be. Bottom line is, it wasn't an insanely long time compared to what we're dealing with,
right?
So what's pshat? The pshat is that what we're going through, it has to be longer, because the ultimate end, you need that stress, that birth, that time period has to be extended, because the geula is going to be so incredible. You need to go through that, whatever that means.
You need to build. You need a big build up to it.
To build up to a massive geula.
Right. So it's going to, and it's going to, obviously, and we know this on some level, we've learned those in the Midrashim, it's going to eclipse all the previous geulas that have been until now. And it's this cautious about which. What's still going to be around? Is Pesach going to be around? Different regalim, are they still going to exist in Bisman? The geula. So that's you're saying that you have this big piece of it's going to be big. It's going to be incredible. It's going to be a shot. To explain what you're saying, but you have to have that in mind. Like, what's a shot? Then you can actually eat it. You're fertilizing that geula.
Oh, you really did.
That's pretty
deep. More smoke.
It goes, yeah. Like one.
Dead!
Alright.
Shkaya! Shkaya! Amazing. I think it's true.
That's awesome.
You hide away. We keep the small part, is what we have on the Seder plate. The small part is what we're doing tonight. But remember that that's.
I like the.
That's the just.
Put the big part away, and we practice so much at the Seder searching for the Shiach. We practice searching for the ultimate goal. We lead our lives like that.
Not a mina, by the Kalei Lomzi.
That's incredible. I love it. Wow. Holy cow.
Shkoyah.
I'm so excited.